Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
For 8 years, Pete Souza had total access to President Obama as his chief official White House photographer. He was in top secret meetings as well as family moments. Now he's published a collection of his photographs in the book Obama, An Intimate Portrait. And Pete Souza joins us to talk about it. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me on.
And the first time that you photographed President Obama was before he was president. You've got the photo in the book. You were at the Chicago Tribune and he was a senator from Illinois. Do you think that you would have become his photographer if it hadn't been for that connection?
No, absolutely not. That's how I met him. I was based in the Tribune's Washington, D.C. bureau. And Jeff Zeleny, who is a correspondent in the bureau, came up with this idea of doing a documentary look at Obama's first year in the Senate. And he mentioned it to me, and I said, I'm in for this. So I got to know him that first year in 2005, and then subsequently continued to cover him as a senator and went on a couple of foreign trips with him and covered the start of his presidential campaign. So without that relationship, I never would have gotten this job.
How different was it to take pictures of him then than when he was in the White House?
Well, the apparatus that follows him was not the same. I mean, I remember we went to Moscow on a trip. He went with Richard Lugar, senator from Indiana, the two of them on a congressional delegation, and Jeff and I went along. And we were in Red Square with one security guy from the State Department, and not a single person in Red Square recognized him. Those days are gone.
Is it different to take a photo of somebody who is being recognized by everybody around them versus somebody who's kind of anonymous to the surroundings?
Just the logistics are difficult to maneuver. I was consciously, that first trip to Moscow in 2005, I was consciously trying to show people ignoring him because I thought, you know, someday this guy may become president. Mm. And you're never going to have this scene again where he's going to be in such an open public space where no one even knows who he is. Of course, you know, once anyone becomes president, everyone is focused on that person and just the situation is completely different.
Well, once he became president, you very quickly said, I want to have all access. I want to be everywhere that he is. Was there precedent for that, and was it difficult to get that access?
My model of a White House photographer was Yoshi Okamoto, who was LBJ's photographer. I never knew Yoshi, but Yoshi was really the first White House photographer to truly document a president for history. And his pictures are just so good. His access was so good. He set the bar so high that I think every subsequent official White House photographer has been trying to reach his bar. So that was my model. President Obama understood that, and he acceded to my request. But of course, once you step inside the Oval Office, things change. And if you can imagine every day somebody following you around, taking pictures all day, every day, it takes a little getting used to. And then you have other people that are worried about what they're saying to the president. Here's this, you know, what they consider an observer in the room. So that took a few months to sort of get people accustomed to me being in every meeting, you know, every day, whether it was a domestic policy meeting or a national security meeting. But I think after the first few months, I think people recognized that I took what I did seriously, that I was not going to ever leak anything, that I was really trying to document his presidency for history.
Did they ever kick you out of a meeting? Did they say, this is too sensitive, Pete, can you please step outside?
Not that I can recall. I think the one time where I tried to give him some space was if he was having a one-on-one meeting, meaning there was just him and one other person. I would get the shots that I needed and then just quietly back out of the room. I wasn't kicked out, but I knew that he wanted it to be a private meeting, and mostly for the sake of his guest, I knew that it was better to give him some privacy in meetings like that.
When you did stay in meetings, did you listen to what was going on, or were you able to just tune it out and focus on the photographs?
I didn't tune it out totally, because you sort of want to get the broad sweep of what's going on, because that helps you capture the right moment, the right mood. Maybe there's a certain individual in the meeting that you should be focusing on other than the president, you know, depending on the subject matter. So although I couldn't, you know, relay in detail what anyone was saying, I needed to have an idea of what the essence of this meeting was about to help my photography and help create, you know, meaningful pictures.
You and I have met once before, and it was a few years ago when we were both given an award at Boston University. And I remember being told that you were flying in and flying out that very day because you didn't want to miss one day of taking photographs of President Obama. Tell us about that. And did you ever have to miss an extended period of time?
So the first 5 years, I did not take a vacation. And then the last 3 years, I took 1 week each year. Otherwise, my wife would have killed me. So those were the only times I took off. I also took one sick day in 8 years, and that was only because I had to go undergo anesthesia to have a colonoscopy. So they did not let me come to work.
What were you so afraid of missing?
History. Right? When you're documenting history, you don't really know all the time when it's going to take place. So I was always nervous about missing something.
You write that there were moments when you had to hide your own tears behind the camera while you were taking photos. What was one of those?
Well, Newtown. After the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School, 2 days later, we went to Newtown, and the emotions were still raw. You can imagine you're a parent. You sent your six-year-old, your first grader, off to school, and they never come home because some crazy guy shot them to death. There were 20 parents that happened to. And we went to Newtown 2 days after what for them was the worst day of their life. And just the emotion of him meeting with these families privately for hours before the public memorial service was just too much to bear.
He said that was the worst day of his presidency.
He does say that. I think his reaction to this tragedy was felt not just as a president, but as a fellow parent.
You've also got a few photos in this book of somebody named Corey Remsburg, who the president met, and then later Corey Remsburg was severely injured in Afghanistan. Tell us about that and why you decided to include so many photos with Corey Remsburg.
Corey, I've gotten to know him and his dad a little bit. Well, the president would go to Walter Reed usually every 3 months. I think he went 24 or 25 times during his administration to see injured soldiers coming back from Afghanistan or Iraq. And in 2010, we walked into Corey's room, and here he was lying on the bed. He had just dozens of stitches across his head, the side of his head. He had been severely injured. It was hard to look at in some ways. And his dad was there, and his dad said, "Well, you, Mr. President, you've met Corey before. You met him 8 months before in Normandy in June 6, 2009. And I'm listening to this, and I'm trying to, like, remember this, and I can't. But then Craig, his dad, had taped to the hospital wall a photo that I had taken of President Obama shaking hands with Army Ranger Corey Remsburg on June 6, 2009 in Normandy. And I'm looking at this photograph and then looking at Corey in the bed, and I'm thinking, like, oh my gosh, this is hard to fathom, hard to take in. It was the only time that he had met someone who then subsequently was injured like this in Afghanistan or Iraq. And I, you know, I had doubts whether Corey would recover, but he did. And a couple years later, he was invited as a guest of honor at the State of the Union address. He sat next to Michelle Obama, and a woman at the New York Times wanted to do a story about Corey. And that was the first time that we had allowed those pictures to be made public. Mm. At Corey's request, he wanted people to see the progress that he had made, and he thought he could be an example for other wounded soldiers, that no matter how bad you're injured, that you can come back. And Corey is proof of that.
That's Pete Souza. His book is called Obama, An Intimate Portrait. We'll continue our conversation tomorrow and ask about Souza's Instagram feed, which has been biting in its criticism of President Trump.
I think I have been respectful, playful, subtle, and compared to the comments I make on Instagram, they pale in comparison to what some people write on Twitter, for instance.
That's tomorrow on Here and Now, and you can see some of Pete Souza's photos at hereandnow.org.